Chapter 2. Junk to Jewels. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems, and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. Isaiah 54:11-12. Notice in chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, the kingdom of God is made up of jewels. Also notice that in the beginning of Revelation, the apostle John is greatly afflicted. How did the afflictions become jewels? Jesus was showing John and you and me how to turn our afflictions into something significant, eternal material for God's kingdom. We will investigate this path in this book. Many of the ways we humans attempt to compensate for an imperfect life, full of unmet expectations, broken marriages, failed business, unexpected tragedy, and terminal diseases, seem to work for a season. However, they are really just different degrees of bandages that cover a deep wound. My wife and I have both faced horrible circumstances in life. In them, we saw Jesus, the God of the Bible, through the Holy Spirit with intensity, total commitment, and passion. We noticed several things over the years. One, the junk in our lives has always turned into jewels. God showed us that the eternal value in our overcoming process was far more valuable than our own personal victory. Two, with each trial, we found ourselves becoming more intimate with the living God. Three, God has given us eyes to look back and notice a path that became a familiar one. He has shown this path to us in the Scriptures as something that He calls overcoming. Four, God considers our afflictions, sicknesses, poverty, etc., as a gateway to abundance, not as our final judgment or our designated lot in life. Colossians 1:20 says, "And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross." Reconcile means to make a friend from an enemy. All things, everything that comes into your life that looks like an enemy, will be made a friend by the blood of Jesus. That is a law, but you have to cooperate and believe. How does that happen? It sounds too good to be true, you may say. The worst thing that ever happened was Jesus' crucifixion. Look how God made that to be a friend. Your situation cannot be worse than the Son of God being crucified. The cross and resurrection made all things potentially a friend. Five, God has used the book of Revelation to help us see things from His point of view. God told the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 4 to come up here. When we allow God to lift us above circumstances and see things from His viewpoint, our circumstances can be used as seeds. Six, this path is based upon the principle of death and resurrection. Jesus, the perfect Lamb sacrificed for your sins, suffered perfectly and completely for every evil in your life. Jesus took the ultimate evil that confronts you. Therefore, by law, that evil must turn out to be a blessing if you are on the overcoming path. 7. God did not violate man's free will to rebel and not serve His Creator, but He did provide a way to turn the disastrous results into a blessing. Jesus, as a perfect sinless man, suffered every kind of death and shade of death deserved by you and me, the most imperfect and rebellious men and women. If we accept this free gift, the divine exchange, then our deaths turn into resurrections of superabundant proportions. Even our final death, the death of our bodies, propels us into the presence of God in heaven if we accept the exchange. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15:55 KJV. 8. Jesus took the very essence of your pain and suffering. He absorbed the cause and the result of it. Therefore, if you believe and cooperate with Him, He will transfer the benefits of His resurrection power to your present circumstances. He will deem your curse a seed. He will walk you through planting that seed, nurturing it, and with faith and patience hold your hand until that seed of death resurrects from the dead into a blessing that you cannot contain. Resurrection always requires a death. When the Bible talks about death, it does not always refer to just the death of our body as we commonly define the word. There are degrees of death. There are sub-works of death. There is a death of the spirit and the soul. There are deaths of dreams, expectations, hopes, and deaths of our good health. There are deaths of relationships. We will call these shades of death. It really does not matter whether or not you are responsible for your suffering. Sometimes we are just victims of living in an imperfect world. Quite often, people are born into a generational curse that comes down the family line from many generations, which makes them victims from the womb. You may not even know that you are a victim. You may feel that your afflictions are just the result of your own actions. It could be that your afflictions are the result of a spiritual curse passed down from your family. Maybe you are the victim of parents who did not show you love, and perhaps have even rejected you. Perhaps you have tried hard at making life work, but everything just seems like you are wrestling against a shadow. Perhaps you are in a different category. Perhaps your overcoming has to do with your character, something from the old nature that still attempts to hang on. Perhaps it is something like Paul experienced and described in Romans chapter 7. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Romans 7:15, KJV. You may have been born into some kind of shade of death. Perhaps you are living in a third world country where just existing is a difficult daily task. You may be facing starvation, unemployment, civil wars, filthy water, and homelessness. These are all shades of death, and they are all the result of thousands of years of Satan's work and works of man, who is disconnected from his Creator. You did not choose where you would be born. You had no choice to be born the son of a queen or the son of a slave. But you do have a choice to do something positive with your circumstance rather than to just sit and feel like a victim. I am not talking about positive thinking or some kind of self-improvement scheme. I am inviting you to tap into the power of the God who created the universe. There is yet another way you may be experiencing afflictions if you truly decide to live by faith in the word of Jesus Christ with no compromise. You will suffer persecutions and afflictions. I challenge you with this question: why should you be afraid to die or experience some shade of death if it is the first step to resurrection? Resurrection, you might say. I thought that was for Jesus and perhaps for me in the afterlife after my body dies. It is. But Jesus always taught that the kingdom of God could be experienced here on earth in this life. So many people miss God's best because they refuse to embrace their afflictions as seeds. They insist on hanging on to their lower life. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" Luke 9:23-25. Afflictions are seeds. God set up several laws when he created the material universe as we know it. A law is something that always works. He set up gravity, and it always works unless another law interferes. He set up the principle of seed, time, and harvest, as stated in Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. In the seed principle, he established that a seed must die in the ground before it produces much fruit. The fruit contains more seed, which, when planted, also must die. So the process is death first, life or resurrection next. Jesus, referring to his crucifixion and resurrection, said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." John 12:24. If we look at our shades of death as seeds, then we can rejoice as the farmer who just planted a crop of corn and is anticipating life or fruit from the death of his seeds. Each result of our separation from God is some form of death, some shade of death. It can be called a curse instead of a blessing. However, God did not stop there. Thousands of years after Adam, Jesus was born of a woman, with God's Word acting as the male sperm. God was actually crucified in the material world, but he did not stay dead. 3 days after he rose from the dead, God resurrected Jesus, his son, thus defeating death and every shade of death, including yours. What looked like the greatest tragedy turned out to be the greatest blessing. If Satan had known the end result, he would not have convinced the people to crucify Jesus. If you feel or think that your affliction is not a candidate for this process, if you feel that somehow your situation is beyond God's ability or even his desire to work out for you, think about the resurrection of Jesus and the miracle of it. Jesus was beaten to a point of being unrecognizable. His body was torn apart on the cross. He died. He was wrapped in hundreds of pounds of cloth and ointment. He actually suffered in hell. He was dead and in hell. It looked hopeless. However, when God spoke to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Hebrews 1:5b. He was miraculously resurrected. Resurrected does not mean just brought back to life, as was the case with Lazarus in John chapter 11. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he was born all over again, a new species of being. The Bible calls it a new creation. Jesus died a man of our race, the race of Adam, and he was resurrected a new race, which you and I now partake of. So it is with our afflictions. We bury them as something corruptible, but they are resurrected into blessings and jewels for the New Jerusalem, the kingdom of God. I think one of the reasons we have a difficult time believing this is that we usually see our infirmities and weaknesses as stronger than the resurrection life that Jesus gave us. Also, I believe that for thousands of years, the church has not emphasized the truth of the power of the resurrection life that Jesus left in us through the Holy Spirit's indwelling. When we were born again, when we received the Word planted in our hearts, our old nature died, and an entirely new life was implanted into our spirit. The blood covenant with Jesus has transplanted our spiritual blood. We received his spotless blood, and he received our sinful blood. As it states in Romans chapter 6, this life is no longer subject to sin and death, nor is it subject to sickness, disease, and curses. Romans 6:14, Amplified Bible, says, "For sin shall not any longer exert dominion over you, since now you are not under law as slaves, but under grace as subjects of God's favor and mercy." The difficulty with most people is that they do not see that this new life has been granted as a seed that needs to be nourished and developed into maturity. As this new life is nurtured through our fellowshipping with the Lord and taking in his Word, through giving him our sin on a regular basis, that part of us that is not acting in love, and by continually speaking the Word against satanic beings, our new life begins to mature and become stronger than the infirmity or curse that was acting against it. The seeds of afflictions will bear fruit. The fruit will be luscious, and it will contain more seed for forming a new crop with which to bless others. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9:10. This process I have just described is called overcoming. It is also called turning junk into jewels. That is the subject of this book. We will go into more detail to help you step onto and stay on the overcoming path and lifestyle. So why are you cursing your seed of pain, your disadvantage, your lack of opportunity, your sickness, your loss of relationship, etc.? Rejoice. Sure, it came from Satan, but Satan has just provided your seed for a blessing. 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, "Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Praising God for the victory and rejoicing while we are still in pain will give God more to work with. Overcoming is more than just making it. I believe that overcoming is more than just making it through something difficult, although it includes that. I believe that overcoming is a vital process about which God wants His people to be educated. I believe a great deal of Scripture is about overcoming. I believe that only a scripturally guided overcoming process can accomplish the work that is closest to God's heart. I believe that God wants His people to be intelligent about this process and not just achieve its benefits by accident. I believe that God's main purpose for this book is to educate and encourage His people so that His purposes may be accomplished in heaven and earth. Secondly, I believe that God wishes to relieve much pain and suffering for the future generations, our children and their children. I believe that God has rewards for overcomers both now and in eternity. I also believe that God may have drawn you to this book as a means of getting to know Him, perhaps for the very first time. Overcoming accomplishes evangelism. It is a historic fact that the first century church knew that for each martyr, approximately 300 people were saved for Jesus. It is much the same today. When a person overcomes affliction, he is a successful martyr for the kingdom of God. A person does not need to be a martyr unto death, just a living sacrifice, as Paul talked about in Romans chapter 12. The issue is not so much about you and your circumstances, but it is more about God and what He wants to accomplish to save this world through your life. Luke 11:21 through 22 states that when we overcome, we not only experience victory for our own life, but at the same time, we take the spoils of war of the demons that were against us. That means that others are set free, maybe in your family, maybe in another nation. I have experienced this more than once. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger man than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Luke 11:21 through 22. Your jewels are custom made just for you. Revelation chapter 21 shows that 12 jewels create the foundation of the kingdom of God. This, I believe, indicates that there are various types of jewels for various types of people and situations. Our overcoming will not be just like someone else's. We are not always, and very rarely, sure what our overcoming will actually look like. We should not attempt to dictate to God exactly what we expect as the end result of our overcoming process. In doing so, we may be blocking His power. However, if He gives you a dream and a vision, go for it, and don't let anybody talk you out of it. It is better to dream big and be wrong than not to dream at all. God will tenderly take care of you as He has taken care of me in these types of circumstances. Ephesians 3:20, Amplified Bible, says, "Now to Him who by, in consequence of, the action of His power that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." A devotion quoted from Streams in the Desert says it well. "I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord who call you by your name, am the God of Israel." Isaiah 45:3. Years ago, before the city of London had modern paved streets, the story is told of an incident in Ruskin's life. He was known during his lifetime for never having missed an opportunity to relate the goodness of his God. While walking down one of the streets of London with a friend, the friend turned and disgustingly commented to Ruskin, "What dirty, dreadful, loathsome stuff!" He was referring to the peculiarly unpleasant compound, the mud, of London streets. "Hold, my friend," said Ruskin, "not so dreadful after all. What are the elements of this revolting substance? First, there is sand, but when its particles are crystallized according to the law of its nature, what is nicer than clean white sand? And when that which enters into it is arranged according to a still higher law, we have the matchless opal. What else have we in this mire? Clay. And the materials of clay, when the particles are arranged according to their higher laws, make the brilliant sapphire. What other ingredients enter into London's muck? Soot. And soot, in its crystallized perfection, forms the diamond. There is but one other, water. And water, when distilled according to the higher law of its nature, forms the dewdrop resting on the exquisite perfection in the heart of the rose. So in the muddy, lost soul of man is hidden the image of his Creator, and God will do his best to find his opals, his sapphires, his diamonds, and dewdrops. T.L. Coiler. Help wanted, construction workers. Limited number of positions open for the construction of New Jerusalem, a city designed by Jehovah God and being built by Jesus of Nazareth. Exceptional pay. The master has a habit of paying for a full day in compensation for 1 hour of work. Fringe benefits include health insurance, retirement with full pay, protection in all forms of evil, need, and want, free emotional and psychological counseling. Job consists of using the master's own tools and property to add several finishing sections to the city called New Jerusalem. Qualifications: applicants must be willing to submit to being changed, during a probation period, from a foolish to a wise virgin in the context of Matthew chapter 25. Warning disclosure: many former applicants have been disappointed and quit during the probation period when they discovered that the master's tools were their problems, perplexities, infirmities, and handicaps, which have been strained through the master's cross, washed and coated in his blood, disarmed and diffused of all evil and their ability to harm, and converted to a highly valuable construction material known as jewels through an amazing but time-proven process known as overcoming. Many preferred to stay as foolish virgins and see these tools as enemies. When their master returned at the end of the probation period, they did not even recognize him. After the conversion process from foolish to wise, the few that made it discovered that they had been carrying around the most valuable raw material in the universe. When they plunged these problems into the cross, the very nature of these former problems had actually been changed from bitter to sweet, from enemy to friend, and their reward was beyond explanation. Some actually reported that they saw wolves fellowshipping with lambs. Interested parties should contact the Holy Spirit. Larry Chikoroff, June 13, 1991.